Of the goodness. Let's lift our hands again. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to welcome all of our guests online and here in the house of God. We're grateful that you're here. I just put down the connection card. It's a little green card. If you have the opportunity, you can get one from the kiosk or from the ushers. If you haven't gotten one already, we're just asking you to let us know your few points of information so that we can get back to you and express our appreciation. There's a small gift for you at the kiosk if you will turn that in before you leave. We're glad that you're here. You may be seated. Amen. It just feels so good to be back in the groove of things, isn't it? Amen. Just all around, a lot of us were at camp. I wasn't here Sunday. We heard most of the service online as we were traveling. And I heard Pastor talking about being back from camp and everything. And I was thinking, I'm not back yet. But now I feel like I'm back too. And now we get together like we used to. It's so good to be in the house of God. Amen. We want to remind you of your giving options. If you're worshiping today here in person, we have a kiosk out in the vestibule. At the kiosk in the vestibule, there's a box where you can drop in your offering. We have a number of different offerings that are going on right now, and you have to designate, if you would, on the envelope when you put that offering in there. Otherwise, you can give online. And there again, we ask you to designate, or you can text to give. And I don't have the information on the board in front of me, so I can't see it. I guess I'll turn around. Tithes, offerings, She's for Christ. Offering is what we're taking right now. You need to designate that if you're texting to give. The rest of the information is there. Please feel free. This Friday is all church prayer at 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. Amen. And then please remember, Sunday, August 1st, is Summer Fun Fest All Nations Sunday. Amen. We're going to have you've seen, hopefully, the posters, the flyers posted around the building here, where there'll be the service itself will be an All Nations Sunday. Pastor Fabian Martinez will be our special speaker. Amen. And we'll have a number of other churches. AIM will be joining us. Voces will be joining us. Brother Lomax's church will be with us. And we think that the Hmong church will be with us too. We're still working that out, whether they're going to be joining us or not. And all of those churches will be part of our worship service. Then outside, we're going to have tacos, play in the sand, have volleyball, have football, and various wiffle ball. Anybody remember wiffle ball? Amen. Pastor Fabian is here. Why don't you stay in, Pastor Fabian? We want to... And if you didn't know it, Pastor Fabian Martinez is also our district Spanish coordinator. So that's Sunday, August 1st. Service will begin at 10 a.m., the regular time. Then after service, we'll be going out and enjoying food and fellowship. Please invite a guest. Bring someone with you. It's a great time to let people know how the apostolics do things. Amen. Right now, we have a promotion from the youth team.
Praise the Lord. I am up here to talk about Move the Mission. Who's familiar with what Move the Mission is? Not very many people. That's okay. You may know it better by the term Sheaves for Christ. For those of you that don't know, the name has officially changed from Sheaves for Christ, or SFC. It is now called Move the Mission. So the name has changed, but the mission, the purpose of Move the Mission is still the same. For those of you that don't know, Move the Mission is a fundraiser put on by the United Pentecostal Church, specifically the youth department. Since it has started, it has raised over $143 million for many, many countless worthy causes. Amen. We just had a discussion a couple weeks ago in our Sunday school. We were talking about how Move the Mission has impacted each one of us. And I think just about every person in youth class was able to raise their hand and say at least one thing, if not several, one thing that MTM fundraises or gives money to that has impacted their life. I know for myself personally, I could name many things. Just a couple examples. I did receive a scholarship from MTM to go on a missions trip. I traveled many, many hours in a vehicle that was bought for missionaries by Move the Mission. And I've also attended many, many life-changing North American Youth Congress services, as well as camps that were partially funded through Move the Mission. So I can honestly say that it has changed my life. It also supports many other causes, as I'm sure we're all familiar with, Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, New Beginnings Adoption Agency, P7 Bible studies for high school students, trainings for youth ministers, Bible quizzing, things that many of our young people have been involved in. It is true that MTM not only impacts us here on a local level, but also impacts people across our nation and truly all the way across the globe. So our youth group has a goal this year to raise at least $16,000 for Move the Mission. It's a number we've reached in the past, and we truly believe we can again this year with the help of each and every one of you, whether you can give $5 or $5,000, every dollar will have an impact in this world. We have some fundraisers planned that we will share with you in the coming weeks. We've also got some youth that will be sharing how MTM has impacted their lives personally. So we're excited to share all of that. Our final offering date is August 29th, and you can give just as you normally would to church, online, via text, or at the kiosk. Just designate your gift for MTM, Move the Mission, or She's for Christ. We'll know what you mean. Thank you, and God bless.
Everyone say, Move the Mission. Amen. Ask you to stand again. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacobs has contacted Pastor and asked us to pray for Micah Jacobs. She has swelling on the brain. And what the cause is, or, you know, they don't have any more information than that, but she's not doing well right now. So let's pray for Micah Jacobs. As we pray for the rest of the service. If you have a need, we'd like you to identify that by raising of your hand. And if there's someone near you that you're comfortable with sharing, you can feel free to do that. Let's pray. We can actually lay hands on each other now without being arrested or anything. So let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, God, for your hand upon us, your children. We pray, God, for Micah Jacobs, O Lord, for the power of God to touch her right now, O Lord, that the relief would come to her, that you would heal her body, Lord. We don't know the cause. We don't know all of the details of this situation. We only know that she is in pain and that she is struggling and that she needs a touch. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we as members of the body and call on the name that is above every other name, and we release virtue and healing for her sake and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, so be it. We pray, O God, for your blessing upon all who have raised their hand here tonight, those who have expressed their need. Lord, you know what we're seeking. You know what we need before we pray, but nonetheless, by faith, we ask for your touch, your help, your blessing. We ask for your anointing and blessing on the remainder of this service, upon each of us, that we may receive your word with an open heart and a willing spirit. And I pray for your anointing upon our pastor as he brings us the word of the Lord, that he will be able, O God, to minister to everyone in this house by the anointing of your Holy Spirit and the ministry of your word. And we'll give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor in all of this, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Darkness falls, I won't be afraid, 'cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. No, my God will never fail. grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name.
Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. You could be seated. We have some awesome services over the weekend. Brother Bustard was here and he taught, gave a tremendous teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, kind of tied it all together. And we had a great period of worship and a great preaching session. So great to have my aunt and uncle Rick and Carolyn Bussey here tonight, all the way from East Texas. How many of you have ever had the barbecue, smoked turkeys, anything I've cooked like that? This is all because of this man taught me. I enrolled in his barbecue university as a young child and grew up. Every time I went to Texas, I would say, teach me more, teach me more. And I'm teachable. Yes, sir, Brother Dave. Tonight we're going to talk about teachability again, but I want you to look at the person next to you and say, how well do you listen? How well do you listen? So we're going to continue in our study on teachability, and everything we learn in life, someone teaches us. No one is completely self-taught, and we all learn from being taught, and within that process of learning, we all develop differently. That's because we're different, period. The world is trying to make us all the same, but God said that I'm going to create you, and he created us differently. Every one of us, our DNA is different, our personalities are different, how we look at life is different, all because we have different experiences, because we've learned or we've been taught differently. How Brother Repka learns algebra is probably going to be much different how I learn algebra. I never learned it. I struggled with it. It wasn't until I learned the practical, Sister Stephanie, I'm so sorry. It wasn't, Sister Stephanie, until I learned the practical side of algebra and plumbing that I began to realize and understand how it actually was, worked, functioned. I found out that plumbing was more teachable when it came to algebra than Mr. Minga in algebra in high school. So we all learn differently because we're all taught a little bit differently. So today we're going to look into some of the characteristics of a teachable person. We spoke of biblical principles. You remember that? We're reviewing a little bit biblical principles, biblical convictions, biblical doctrines. Those all would kind of fall together under one category. And then we have personal convictions. You have a personal conviction that perhaps you feel that it is a conviction of yours that you must take a nap on Sunday because Jesus or the Lord said in the very beginning that on the seventh day he took a nap. So he rested. So maybe that's a personal conviction of yours. Now, where you get into trouble is when you start taking perhaps a personal conviction, you start teaching that or trying to discuss with people that this is not just a personal, this is biblical. And then we have personal preferences. Some people have a conviction on taking a nap. Some people have a preference on taking a nap. I happen to have all three. Okay, so when we looked into a few of the biblical principles that were cited with teachability, and we have our passage of scripture that is Luke chapter 11, 1 through 13. And just to save a little bit of time tonight, I'm going to read just the first part of this and the last part of this. Starts off, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And then we end that passage with these words, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us. I think that teachability is perhaps the single most important factor on whether or not we grow or we're going to grow in Christ. What I mean when I say someone is teachable, that there's not only a hunger for Jesus Christ to grow in them, but there's also a humble willingness to do anything necessary to see that happen. I think it's very important. I can't emphasize enough how vital this is in our ability to grow in Christ. I go so far to say that if you are not teachable, you will never see significant growth in your walk with God. You may never make it to heaven, and you will probably struggle through many areas of your life that you needn't struggle in simply because you refuse to allow people to speak into your life. We talked about a meek or a teachable spirit. Blessed are the meek. You could kind of put this in terms with our series here. Blessed are the teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek people are teachable people. We spoke of Moses being the meekest man on the earth. Teachable people continually rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit is for more than just salvation, folks. If you have a business decision to make, for those of you that are in business, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel from the Holy Spirit before you make that decision. If you're single and you're going to get married, you better seek counsel from the Holy Spirit before you get married. If you're looking for a different job or a different vocation or a different field, a college, wherever, whatever it may be, there is nothing wrong with continually seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is why we have it. It's not just for casting out demons. It's sometimes for casting out our own demons, our own flesh. So it's very important that we realize that teachable people, meekness, are both hearers and doers of the word. There's a big difference between just hearing the word versus hearing it and doing it. Jesus said that those that hear the word, it's good, but those that hear it and do it, yeah, you get a gold star today, Peter. Teachable people have repentant hearts. Pastor Phil talked a little bit about this, how important it was. People with teachable spirits enjoy healthy relationships with others. If we are teachable and not always defensive when others say things to us, we will be able to develop healthy relationships with other people. And that is very, very important, because having good relationships, having good friendships, is a byproduct of meekness. It's a byproduct of being teachable. These are all things we've already covered. So humility and being teachable go hand in hand. It's so vital that we allow Jesus Christ to do a work of change in our hearts, so in our lives, so that we grow in humility and Christ-like character. That's what this whole series is. Underlying theme to the whole series is to become more like Jesus Christ. I want, when the world sees me and when people see me, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see what's inside of me. I want them to see something different. Instead of blowing off and upset and angry to drive through because you didn't get what you wanted, let's let them see Jesus. They see enough of the other guy. A teachable person is humble. A teachable person studies God's word. A teachable person is attentive. A teachable person seeks after God and God is truth. The Sunday before, the Sunday, July 4th, family camp. This is what we had in our Sunday morning Bible. We talked about truth. A teachable person seeks after truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You can read that later. The Bible is His word. It's God's word, and the Bible is truth. Nothing changes until you can know and face the truth, and that truth is found in Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you tonight, everything that God touches, He changes. Truth changes us. Some of you believe that. The Bible teaches that personal change starts with truth. Choose today to face and respond to the truth. And then and only then will you begin to see positive changes in your life. So we're going to move on tonight into our next little session or section on teachability. And another very critical key component to being teachable. This is right up there with truth. Truth is very important that we seek after the truth. But a lot of being teachable and teachability falls down to how well do we listen. How many of you parents have ever looked at your child and maybe snapped your fingers and gone like this and say, "Are you listening to me right now?" Thank you, Sister Julie, for being so honest, because I know all of these other parents out here have done that. I've seen some of you do that. You look at your child, perhaps maybe husband and wife, maybe you don't want to get so aggressive and raise your hand on this, but sometimes we look at, are you listening to what I'm trying to say here? Do you understand? Read my that famous read my lips. Read my lips. Listen. One of the biggest struggles of the modern era Christian, the Christians of today, one of the biggest battles we face, we struggle with, is we have stopped listening. A lot of Christians today don't listen. They don't even try to understand. They just want to tell everyone what they think. Now, I'm stepping on our toes because we are the ones here tonight on Wednesday night Bible study. I've had many conversations as of late that I just pretty much kept silent. I just sat and listened. I've even had people say, "Pastor, is everything okay? You haven't said much." I'm just listening. I'm observing. I'm putting together material for a later message here, and I'm just listening. They don't try to understand. They just want to tell everyone what they think. So these conversations I've pretty much kept silent on, and it didn't take me very long to draw this conclusion that this person whom I'm engaged in conversation with has very little or no desire to listen. They just want their voice to be heard. As I've stated before, so many people are only listening to respond. They really have little desire to hear what you're saying. They listen to respond. Now, how did the disciples of Jesus get a reputation for not listening? How many times did Jesus have to stop them and correct them? Even going as far as telling Peter, in essence, "Shut up, Satan, get behind me. You're not listening, Peter." And he compares Peter to Satan. So the one we desire to follow, Jesus Christ, the one that we want to be Christ-like, you're going to hear that a lot tonight. Jesus Christ was an exceptional listener. He listened. He didn't always have to form an opinion. Jesus was fully present to others. He asked the right questions. He listened to hear what was beneath the surface. So many times we're listening and we're not really listening. We're hearing, but we're not listening. And Jesus, what if church tonight we were more like him? You see, we live in a world, as I said, where nobody seems to be listening anymore. Everybody has something to say. Everybody has a point to prove. Everybody wants to be understood. But very few want to understand. Did you just get that? We live in a world today. You can watch it on social media. It's to pandemic proportions on social media. Everybody wants to be understood, but nobody wants to understand. What if Christians, we were first called Christians at Antioch, Christ-like. What if Christ-like people were different? What if we were known for being exceptional listeners? You see, the scripture is full of counsel. It's full of good, nurturing scriptures on how to listen. The wise King Solomon, he composed 22 Proverbs about listening. We read in Proverbs 2:2, tune your ear to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. James wrote in James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Wow. And slow to become angry. Jesus himself in Luke 8:18 says, consider how carefully you listen. The NLT tells us in Mark 4:24, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. As Christ-like people today, we want to make a positive impact to those around us. How many of you want to make a positive impact in your world? You see, we have convictions. We covered that in our review. And we want to assert godly influence in the world around us. But even if we're the best at sharing beliefs, we're the best at witnessing, all is of no avail if we are not good listeners. The truth is, the people we're seeking to lead to Jesus Christ need us, you and I, to become expert listeners. If we listen well, we'll lead better, we'll be more effective in our ministry, we'll have more influence on those around us. So we're going to move into the arena tonight of how well do I listen. The first point I'd like to make is, did you know that listening well makes other people feel valued? Did you know that some of this might be good for you to write down and take to work? Because if you're struggling at work in this is going to help you in every aspect of your life. When you give someone else your full attention, you're sending a powerful message that says, you know what, something? Sister Sarah, you matter to me. You matter to me. Just think about Jesus in John chapter 8, talking with the woman at the well. As she poured out her heart to Jesus, he wasn't scanning his cell phone looking for the latest news feed. He wasn't contemplating his next sermon. He wasn't looking over his shoulder to see if his disciples were coming down the path bringing lunch. He was completely focused on that person standing in front of him. He was fully present. He was not rushed. He was not distracted. His attentiveness to her was strikingly different from anything that this woman had ever experienced before in her life. She knew that he was a Jew. She knew that she was a Samaritan. She knew that she was a harlot. She was used to being slighted and ignored. She was used to no one else giving her the time of day. But by the way that Jesus listened, and by the way that he engaged her in conversation, the questions that he asked of her, Jesus gave to her, without her really realizing and understanding what was happening, Jesus was giving to her the gift of value. A gift of value. Dads, when your children come up to you and they grab you by the arm and they want to talk to you, don't just swat them away and say, later, I don't have time right now. Teach your children the gift of value by listening to them. When people feel heard, they feel valued. So put your cell phone away. Look people in the eye. I've gone out and had dinner with meals. I've had individuals call and want to meet and say, Pastor, I'd like to meet with you. And I've gone out and sat across to the table. And the whole time I sat at the table, this young man was on the telephone. And he talked the entire time. We ordered our meal. He kept talking. Our meal came. He kept talking. I ate my meal. He kept talking. I got up, went to the bathroom, and left the restaurant. About 20 minutes later, I get a phone call. Where are you, Pastor? I'm back at church. I thought we were going to meet. I thought so, too. But you see, you let me know very quickly that my time with you had very little to no value. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to spend my time where it is most valued. So if you ever invite me out to lunch, take your cell phone and leave it in your car. Most of the time, unless it's an emergency, or I will leave my cell phone in the car. I've got to where people have gotten a little upset, Pastor, I tried calling you and you didn't call me back. Exactly. Understand something, a cell phone is for my convenience, not yours. No, I'm not saying don't ever call me. I'm just saying if I don't answer, there's probably a very good reason why I'm not answering. Probably because I'm listening to someone else, and I want to continue to add value. Listening brings out the best in others. Christ-like Christians should know how to draw out creativity. We should know how to draw out insight. We should know how to draw out pain, frustrations, and hurts, and engage in the lives of others. When Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world. Yes, he said, teach all nations, but he said to make disciples. Make disciples. The disciple process. You have to deal with creativity, drawing it out. You have to deal with pain and frustration and hurts. In order to disciple someone, we have to engage in their lives, which means to engage, we have to listen. We have to listen. We should know how to create an instant environment. When the Bible says be instant, in season and out of season, when we're sitting in the break room and someone begins to pour their guts out at the lunch table, we should be able to create an instant environment right there that's charged with the Holy Ghost, where we can sit and listen as this person across the table pours their heart out. That's never going to happen unless we listen. But like Jesus, effective Christians, we need to ask the right questions. Questions that invite a response. Great questions. Jesus was a master at this. Great question fostered connection, which led to relationship. We see an opportunity or a need. We should know how to respond to that need. Many times we skip the need. We brush right over it because we're so intent on getting Acts 2:38 to them. I've been at this altar before. We had a family that came up, the husband and wife had determined that this was the last, they were going to come to church on this Sunday morning, but they were going to split up, have a divorce. They were divorcing. They decided, they said, well, let's just go to church. They came to church. They came down to the altar. And I introduced myself and began to talk with them. And they began to share their story. I didn't pray for them to get the Holy Ghost. I prayed that God would heal their hurts. He would heal their pain. He would heal whatever it was inside of this couple that they used to have but no longer have. And their teenage daughter was there, and some of you gathered around, not even knowing the situation, and began to pray. And you know what? God filled them with the Holy Ghost that morning. But you see, so many times we skip the real need and we rush right to the part, are you saved? And we miss opportunities for future conversation, for future connection, for future conversions, due to the fact that we push out our response. We push out our answers. We're not listening to what they're really trying to tell us. Listen, listen. It's better for us to pause from dishing out our solution until we have listened intently to their hearts. Thus, by listening, we can make them more receptive to hearing what we have to say. You see, listening well doesn't mean you have to always agree or accept. Understand that. Just because I'm listening to you pour yourself out doesn't mean I always agree with that. Doesn't mean that I have to accept that. But wise listeners listen to the lives of others and are not quick to judge. Or point three, did you know that listening well resolves conflicts? I love history, and I've read a number of accounts in history where that numerous wars could have been avoided if people would have just listened to one another. That's all it took, was just listening, somebody listening. We live in a world of multiple choice answers and forceful opinions. I've never seen more opinions being forced upon me than today, and conflict today is unavoidable. We shouldn't avoid it. Emotionally mature, healthy listeners know that constructive conflict can oftentimes lead to stronger relationships and better results. We learn that in leadership classes. Christians who listen well focus on the goal of understanding rather than being understood. We listen to hurting people. We say, what can I do? Share with me. And then offer them the gift of empathy. You see, nothing will disarm anger quite like empathy can disarm anger. Empathy builds a bridge from your heart to another person's heart. It says to that person, listen, your feelings, what you're feeling right now, it doesn't make sense to me. I've never experienced it. Let me reword that. Your feelings I've never experienced, but I understand. I want to understand how you feel. It doesn't mean that I agree. It means that I understand. Once you understand that the other person or what the other person feels, it's a whole lot easier to work together to solve whatever issue that needs to be solved. And once again, Jesus Christ, if we want to be Christ-like, Jesus Christ, he was a master at this. We read according to Scripture, he never sinned. I've heard this before. Well, I can't teach in CIP because I've never been in jail. I bought into that for a little while. Until a little CIP guy named Scott, I can't even remember his last name right now. He passed away a number of years. It's been a number of years ago now, but he stepped into my life. I stepped into his life, and I began to listen. I began to have empathy. I began to try to understand what he was going through, his difficulties. God put us together for that short time. And in that short time, I began to realize that, you know what, I don't have to have spent one day in jail to understand what this poor man is going through. I don't have to be a recovering drug addict. I don't have to be a drunk. I don't have to be an alcoholic. I don't have to have gone to one AAA meeting. Jesus was a master at this, yet he had no sin. He never cheated on his taxes. He never went out and got drunk. He was without sin. Yet, he had so much compassion, so much empathy for those who are deeply bound by sin. So listen, church, we don't always have to experience what everyone goes through in order to have empathy towards them. Our next point is listening well builds your credibility. Many people today undermine their impact and credibility because they simply don't listen well. There's nothing more frustrating for me to be involved in a conversation where the person you're trying to help or assist just dominates and monopolizes the conversation. That tells me that they're really not interested in listening. Solomon noted this in Proverbs 14:8 when he made the statement that fools deceive themselves. Boy, Brother Brocker, we live in a world today that is full of this. Fools lack self-awareness. They talk endlessly about themselves. They don't have the foggiest notion of how they're coming across. They love to hear their own voices, and they're always trying to top someone else's story. You see, the leadership in our world today is plagued by this. And almost every conversation on any topic you choose, there's going to be one of those blowhards out there that's going to come across as an expert. I could go down a lot of rabbit holes right now, but we're going to keep it in. While it's entertaining for a while, self-absorbed narcissist-type people run people off. And see, people don't want to follow leaders like that. I say leaders because God calls us to be a leader. Did you know that? You may look at yourself and say, well, I'm not a pastor. A pastor and a leader. To be a pastor, you have to be a leader, but you can be a leader and not be a pastor. We've gone through studies like this. Brother Galen Thompson introduced this to us a few years back, and Brother Buster just spoke of this about kings and priests in your homes. Leaders. People don't want to follow leaders like that. Be a wise leader. Proverbs 1:5, be a wise leader. Be a learner. Be a good listener. Wise leaders listen. What is Solomon saying? He's saying wise leaders listen to gain understanding. And the last point I want to make this evening is listening makes you and I that much more like Jesus. God's passion and purpose is our Christ-likeness. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ ought to be the goal of every Christian. That should be our goal. I want to hear, when I get to heaven, I want to hear the Lord say, well done. And I wanted him to say, Roy, you strived your best to be as close to Jesus Christ, as close to me as you could be. Jesus was a great listener. I've worked hard. I've changed some of my habits just so I can be a better listener. Look at the way Jesus conversed with blind Bartimaeus as he passed through Jericho. Jesus knew he was on his way to be crucified. He would never be coming that way again. Look how he engaged with the woman who had the issue of blood. He could have just blown her off. He could have ignored her. He had every right in that culture. He had every right to just ignore her. He could even have scolded her. When he's surrounded by crowds, people pressing him from every side. I love where you read the story, suffer the little children to come unto me. He's walking down the street. He looks up in a tree and he sees Zacchaeus, a tax collector, hated among the Jews, despised. He looks at him and says, come on out of that tree, little man, because I'm going to your house to have lunch today. Not only was he listening to the voices of men, but he was hearing and listening as their souls cried out for a Messiah. And our world today, church, is crying out. It's crying out for a Messiah. Someone to just listen to my pain. Someone to just listen to my hurt. I'm going to close with this. I remember back when I was in high school, I had to write a paper on what I felt the biggest problem in America was. Now, this was back in 1978. Long time ago. Some of you weren't even here in 1978. I still remember the teacher. She was a little bit on the eccentric side for an English teacher. Her name was Miss Tiziani. Brother Bunker went to Sun Prairie. She might have been there when you were there. I don't know. But she was a bit eccentric. And she had us write this paper. And of course, then we had to take, and if our musicians can come, we had to take and we had to read this paper, or she was going to read the paper, I'm sorry. And she started reading the papers, and this took us a number of classes, and finally after like three classes, my paper hadn't been read yet. I'm like, wow, I must have really bombed out on this paper. It came time to the last paper. She says, I want to read. She said, this paper really, really hit me hard because I think this sums up everything that's wrong in our country. You see, I didn't feel that alcohol was the biggest problem. I didn't feel that drugs, I didn't feel that illicit sex, feel that all of these things. I wrote in my paper what I felt was the biggest problem in America was loneliness. Because people were lonely, they turned to drugs. Because people were lonely, they turned to alcohol. Because people were lonely, they would crawl in bed with anyone that would give them any kind of attention. Begin to think about this as I begin to put this message together. What causes someone to be lonely? What causes a person to go through life lonely? And the only conclusion that I could really come up with is because they didn't have anyone in their life that would listen. Imagine how lonely it would be, Pastor Seidel, if nobody ever listened. You'd go in and you'd try to engage in conversation and people would just get up and walk away. You see, Jesus being the ultimate servant leader, as we stand to our feet, Jesus modeled exceptional listening cells. Sometimes we think that servant leadership is all about serving by leading. But Jesus showed us that servant leadership is really about leading by serving. And we would do well, church, if we would follow his example. So we have to ask ourselves this question. I could get up here and talk series after series, Bible study after Bible study, life lesson after life lesson, but if nobody's listening, it serves little to no value. So we have to ask ourselves, we as Christian leaders, are we following the example that Jesus Christ set for us? And is listening to others a priority in our life, or is listening to others a nuisance in our lives? What if we genuinely sought to understand others rather than just seeking to be understood? What if we dared to ask those that we lead, whether it's in our ministries, our families, our businesses, Dad, what kind of response would we get? Husbands, wives, what kind of a response would you get if you asked your spouse, asked your children, how well do you feel that I listen? Imagine how we could benefit. Imagine what amazing things would happen. And maybe, just maybe, if the followers of Jesus would be known as the people that really genuinely listen. So as our sister Sarah, she begins to sing, how well do we listen? How well? Lord, teach us. Lord, I want to be teachable. I want to listen when your word goes forth, God. Help me to listen. Help me to be a better listener. Because, God, if I listen better, I can teach better. If I listen better, I can respond better. Praise the Lord again, church. I want to challenge you this next week between here and Sunday to spend a little bit more time listening than talking. Can we do that? Just try it. I'm not asking in every case. You have to just sit back and not say anything, but just spend a little more time listening than talking. Jesus was such a master at teaching. Sunday morning we have the Bible lesson on Sunday morning. I'll be covering that. Brother Seidel will be covering the second session. And we're going to start with our teachability. We're going to keep going and talk about the purpose of the parable. Sort of the way Jesus taught is he used parables. And for the longest time, I struggled with what's all this about parables? What does this mean? Why? So we're going to go into a little bit of that. It may be review for some of you. Some of you may know all of this already. Some of you just may not have a clue and think you know because you spent too much time talking and not listening. I'm just messing with you, okay? God bless you all. If you joined us online tonight, thank you so very much. For all of those that are unable to make it, God bless you. All of you that are here, God bless you. It's supposed to pour down rain here shortly outside. Be careful on your way home. Love you all. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Sarah, Abby, Jordan, Colin. Thank you so much tonight. God bless.